When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the Liverpool.com podcast on the Blood Red channel. I'm James Martin and I'm joined today by Matt Addison. Plenty happening on the pitch and off the pitch at Liverpool at the moment, and we're going to be focusing on the behind the scenes developments. Big news, isn't there, Matt, with Michael Edwards making a return to the club?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of been expected for a few days. It was probably very unexpected when the first sort of murmurs came about. I'm not sure too many people thought that Liverpool were going to be able to convince him to come back. But as we're going to come to it, it just provides, I think, a lot of clarity, really. There's obviously, similar to last summer, really, in terms of on the pitch, there was a lot of exits and a lot of people coming in and, you know, a big period of change. It's obviously the same this time around, but with the manager, with sporting director, various other new roles, including Michael Edwards's, that is going to be created. So, yeah, there was a lot to get sorted out for Liverpool. I suspect that we probably all thought that they would do it early enough. It seems to be that is starting to come into place now. And as I say, as we'll come to, it kind of just sets the backdrop, really, for the next few months. Obviously, loads going on the pitch, but I think we can start to think a little bit in more concrete terms about what sort of on the sporting director side looks like. You know, there might be an influence in terms of who replaces Jurgen Klopp as well. But I think Liverpool had to get the structure in place before they really pressed ahead with the new manager. It looks like that is obviously well on the way to being done now. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months, I think, on a Liverpool perspective.
Yeah, for sure. There was some talk that the sporting director would have a say in who succeeded Jurgen Klopp. It now looks like that role is going to fall to Michael Edwards, if anyone, in the sense that the name that is, you know, heavily doing the rounds now in terms of who will take Michael Edwards' old job, that is being the sporting director, is Richard Hughes of Bournemouth. We knew a few days ago, really, a week or so ago, that Hughes would be leaving Bournemouth at the end of the season. So he can't do anything until then. So you'd have to imagine that Liverpool would want the manager sorted sometime before Hughes can turn up. So that'll probably be an Edwards remit now. But it's a wide-ranging remit, isn't it? It's one that encompasses a lot of stuff. He's officially the CEO of football, I think it is. And it's with FSG rather than specifically with Liverpool. So there's lots to sort of sink your teeth into there. I suppose one of the notable things was that FSG are planning to potentially get a new club, which Edwards will sort of lead the acquisition of. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most interesting aspect of the whole thing, really, for me. It's obviously interesting that Michael Edwards is, as you say, CEO of football, which is not a title that you hear too often. I have read that was what Chelsea had offered him as well, a similar sort of position. I think it was always going to take another level of job on top of, you know, being the sporting director. That's obviously what he decided he needed a break from a couple of years ago. It was going to need to be a little bit more than that. Obviously, overseeing two clubs, being a key part of the process in identifying which club that might be, I think is really interesting. I have to say, I've got mixed feelings on the whole sort of multi-club model and going down that route. I can definitely see why FSG would look at it. I know there was a sort of Premier League vote, wasn't there? I think maybe about October or November time in one of the international breaks where clubs voted on sort of related transfers between these clubs. And basically the outcome of that vote was that it was in the interests of the majority of the Premier League clubs to say that, yes, that could continue and we weren't going to outlaw those. There's been a couple of things like that, really, that have sort of pointed to the multi-club model being something that isn't going to go away. And therefore, you know, Liverpool, if they feel that this is an advantage that can be gained, and that's what Michael Edwards said in the press release that came with his announcement as coming back and working with FSG, he said, you know, he thinks that this is something that they need to get on board with to make sure that they can you know, continue to be at the forefront of the next few years of football. You don't want to get left behind. And I can see, you know, for that reason why FSG might be looking at a different club. They might be, you know, keen to go down that route. You know, there's loads of examples, really. I think it would be more a case of it being a similar sort of situation to what Brighton have, where it's not quite a feeder club, but it's two very similarly run clubs. It would be more along those lines, I would suspect, compared to, say, a Manchester City, where they're kind of the club. Obviously, Girona have done pretty well this season as well. There's been, you know, a couple of links, but they've kind of got 10 or 12 clubs, I think, within their roster at the moment. It partly comes down to the way that this happens, but I think there's mixed feelings, because I wonder if it was the other way round, and not that this could ever be possible because of how big Liverpool is, but I wonder how Liverpool fans would feel if another club that was bigger was maybe incorporating Liverpool into them. If it was that way round, that I'm not sure, you know, how many people would be on board with that. So it's going to be interesting to see sort of how that works itself out. We see, you know, loads of examples of how it can work really well, but I think it will have to be sort of delicately managed, I think is probably the best way of putting it. I know there's a bit of unrest at Strasbourg, I think it is, that is owned by the same ownership group as Chelsea. You know, there's a few examples, really, of where this multi-club model has not really gone particularly well, really, for some of the smaller clubs who are involved with it. So I don't think you'd want Liverpool to be associated in anything like that. But then again, the way that FSG run things, the way that Michael Edwards run things, I suspect that probably wouldn't be the case anyway. But even so, I think until we know for sure what this is going to look like, and at the moment we don't know what it's going to look like, and we don't even know the sort of time scale, it's not going to be a quick process, I wouldn't have thought, to identify and then purchase another club. I think that will take a substantial amount of time, but it's interesting. It's definitely something that we've spoken about for a while, of, you know, will Liverpool get involved or not? Whether it's a good thing or not will kind of work itself out over the next probably years, really, rather than anything else. I think that's probably the timescale that we're looking at.
Yeah, I completely agree with you in the sense of it being a delicate balance. I suppose what you would say, looking at Strasbourg, for example, is, you know, it's not like things have been immaculately run at Chelsea either. So yeah. I suppose that kind of feeds through across all levels. If an ownership group is run badly at the kind of club that's at the top of the chain, maybe that sort of feeds downwards. And then you look at maybe a Red Bull kind of organisation, you know, for the most part, that has worked quite nicely for most of the clubs in their roster. You look at, you know, Red Bull Salzburg, RB Leipzig, the two kind of flagship ones, you know, neither of their successes have come at the expense of the other. And we know that Michael Edwards has sort of admired the Red Bull system for a long time. I believe he was at the Red Bull Salzburg training ground to sort of scout that out before Liverpool built the AXA training centre. He got some inspiration from that. We know he's bought a lot of players in his time from the Red Bull system. So I suppose if you were looking at kind of models, it might end up being fairly similar to that. That would be a reasonable place to start in terms of what the inspiration might be. But completely agree with you. It's a delicate situation that there's fans of, you know, long-standing clubs sort of at stake here, and sort of to take them into kind of, like you say, a complete feeder club of Liverpool doesn't sit quite right. So we'll see what happens there. Definitely an interesting part of the development. But as we said, not just Michael Edwards on his way. It looks like we could be seeing Richard Hughes as well as sporting director. How important do you think that appointment's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, there's not too many obvious candidates, is there, with the sporting director thing? It's always a hard one. There's loads of examples, really, of, you know, sporting director, head of recruitment, or all of these types of people who work really well with one club, but then you don't quite know how it's going to translate. Steve Walsh, I think it was at Leicester, wasn't it, who went to Everton, then didn't work. There was, you know, loads of examples, really, of that. Even, I think, Sevilla's sporting director, whose name escaped me, went to Roma, was it, I think, and it didn't work. You know, loads of examples, really, of where it's so hard to look at the data. It's almost similar to trying to find out who the best manager is by using the data, because it's so much changes in terms of the players that they've got, the budget they have. They might be a specialist at finding, you know, the next Riyad Mahrez, but that isn't what, you know, Liverpool would need, where that obviously was what Leicester could go for. There's different parameters to look at in terms of what Liverpool need and what they want from it. But I think the fact that Richard Hughes and Michael Edwards have got a sort of long-standing relationship. They were together at Portsmouth when Richard Hughes was a player. Michael Edwards was an early sort of analyst under Harry Redknapp, I think it was at the time, before he kind of went on with his career. We're talking, you know, a couple of decades ago now, but they've kind of known each other for that period. I think they are, you know, very friendly with one another. They know kind of the strengths and weaknesses of each other. So I think that kind of makes sense, really. It can sometimes within football be a little bit of, you know, giving jobs to the people that you know, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think, you know, if Richard Hughes is coming in off the back of a Michael Edwards endorsement, then I think we know enough about Michael Edwards to trust that that's probably, you know, a decent appointment in terms of his calibre and what he can offer. And I think, you know, to be fair, you'd look at the job that he's done at Bournemouth. There's maybe been one or two players that Liverpool have sold to Bournemouth for inflated fees that maybe don't paint Bournemouth's recruitment in the best light. But then at the same time, you'd look at someone like Dominic Solanke now. You'd look at where Bournemouth are, the manager that they've got as well now, I think is a really progressive appointment. You know, they're clearly a club that is punching above their weight. And ultimately for Liverpool, the job is exactly the same, really, albeit on a completely different scale. It's still, broadly speaking, the same kind of remit.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
The job he's done at Bournemouth does kind of paint a picture of someone who's not afraid to make the kind of the big calls. You look at the players, but also you look at the managerial situation. I think that took a lot of people by surprise, given the job Gary O'Neill had done, sort of keeping them up, keeping them safe from relegation. And to a certain extent, that debate's still ongoing, because, you know, you talk to Wolves fans, you see what a job O'Neill is doing there, and you think there's definitely a very good manager in there. I think we've all sort of heard him talk on Big Black Monday Night Football as well. He comes across very well. But at the same time, you look at Bournemouth, they're not in that relegation conversation anymore. They're very much a club that's looking upwards in the league rather than sort of looking over their shoulder. I think Andoni Iraola has done a great job. So I think that does sort of bode well. And like you say, it's been there a long time. So there's a long recruitment record to kind of analyse. And yeah, it's ironic, I suppose, that some of the biggest sort of swing and a miss signings are probably the ones they got off Liverpool for those big fees. So yeah, Liverpool will maybe miss him buying the Deadwood to a certain extent. But yeah, in terms of most of the other signings, you're looking at players who are either looking promising or have already done very well. Solanke, as you say, probably the case in point there. So yeah, I think, as you say, it's not one to be too worried about in terms of Edwards just giving jobs to the boys. It looks like a smart move. He's another one who's well respected in the industry. And yeah, as you say, there weren't a ton of names kicking about as viable options. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works in terms of the day-to-day sort of jobs, how much Michael Edwards is doing, what remit exactly Richard Hughes has. But I suppose that will all become clear with time once the appointment gets over the line. But the other important appointment that we've managed to avoid talking about so far is, of course, the next manager. That's more exciting than sporting directors and even CEOs of football, I'm afraid, it has to be said. So like we said, it could be Edwards who plays a bit of a role in that now. It probably won't be Hughes, given the timings at play. It has been mentioned that Hughes has some sort of dealings in the past with Xabi Alonso's agent, because it happens to be the same agent as Andoni Iraola. I think that's probably not going to be useful, like I say, because of the timescales. But nevertheless, it's somewhat interesting. And Alonso, you would think, would still be at the forefront of Liverpool's thoughts, even with these backroom changes.
Yeah, and I suppose in terms of the timeline as well, as much as Richard Hughes has still got a job to the end of the season with Bournemouth, Xabi Alonso has still got a job with Leverkusen as well. So it's not necessarily the case that there will be loads of those negotiations. I know there's been a lot of noise from Bayern Munich in terms of they want him. They think supposedly that they're in the lead for him, that he would pick them. I wonder to what extent that is just failed so far, at least, attempt at trying to derail what Leverkusen have done this season. There's, you know, obviously a huge gap in the table between them. There's not long left for Bayern to close that gap, and it looks fairly unlikely from this position that they'd even get close to finishing top of the Bundesliga now ahead of Leverkusen. But it does feel a little bit like sort of mind games, if you like, in terms of trying to unsettle him, which I don't necessarily think would ultimately, if they do want Xabi Alonso to come in at the end of the season, I don't think that would necessarily be, you know, a positive from him. I think doing a quieter approach, a bit more of a respectful, really, you know, way of doing things moving forwards makes a great deal more sense for Xabi Alonso in terms of what he wants to achieve this season. So just because we're not hearing loads of noise around Alonso and Liverpool at the moment doesn't necessarily mean that he wouldn't still be the favourite to get that job. There are other candidates, obviously. I still think Xabi Alonso is the obvious one. Ruben Amorim is an obvious one. There's maybe one or two other names that you could put in there, but not loads. So it does still feel to me like Xabi Alonso would be the obvious pick. And I think that will, you know, be a Michael Edwards job. Probably one of the first things that he has to do really is work out what that looks like. If we assume that Richard Hughes is the sporting director, then you work out the manager. I think suddenly then you've got a couple of big ticks really on what is a fairly lengthy to-do list when he comes into this job with FSG. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting one to keep an eye on. But for me, sitting here right now, I struggle to see how it can be anybody other than Xabi Alonso, really, in terms of the job that he's done, the name that he is, the respect that he would command, the sort of, I suppose, the time that Liverpool fans would give him would be more than anywhere else. It does seem to make a great deal of sense to me, but I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I still, at this moment, can't see beyond Xabi Alonso personally.
And presumably this helps in any kind of future pitch to Xabi Alonso, in the sense that FSG now has a kind of football structure to present to him, and indeed to any manager it wants to approach. Of course, you look at Liverpool, its stature, and you think, does it really need to do anything extra to make it an appealing job? But it's unfortunate almost that a lot of big clubs are on the lookout for new managers in the summer, and you know that they'll be doing that far in advance. So obviously we've mentioned Bayern Munich, they know they're after another manager. The same applies at Barcelona. We can't really think of a time when, you know, we're sort of months out from the summer and three of the biggest clubs in Europe know that they need a new manager in this way. So Liverpool will need to make a convincing pitch, and I suppose bringing back Michael Edwards, who's widely regarded as kind of best in class at what he does, and then getting in a sporting director underneath him as well, I assume that could be helpful to a certain extent in making managers pick Liverpool.
Yeah, and it's almost a bit of a continuity thing as well. Obviously, Michael Edwards hasn't had that job, he's never had that job, has he? It's a completely new job, but he's not worked with Liverpool for a couple of years. But I think still the association is there. The fact that Manchester United, Chelsea, I think even Leipzig and teams like that tried to get him a couple of years ago. I think his reputation within the game is strong enough that you would look at that and think, well, Liverpool clearly are going in the right direction. They're taking as many steps as they possibly can to sort of mitigate the fact that they're losing Jurgen Klopp. We knew that was going to happen at some point, but if Liverpool have got Michael Edwards, they've got Richard Hughes to work with him with that duo. I think there's more than enough expertise in terms of the recruitment and the knowledge of agents and various leagues and things like that. You'd then look at, you know, a manager who would probably come in and initially at least would be able to work within that structure. Even just the fact that there is that structure, I think we know now well in advance of the summer what that team is going to look like, what, you know, the sort of, even just the roles, let alone the names, the fact that there is, you know, a multi-club approach, whether you agree with it, whether you want that or not, we know that that is going to be the approach now for the next few years. We know that presumably off the back of that, that suggests that FSG are going to be at Liverpool for a good few years. There was a point not so long ago where there was talk that they maybe could look to sell. Obviously, the decision was made there in terms of it being a minority stake, and that suggested that they were here for, you know, the medium to long term. But I think this is adding to that as well. There's, you know, a great deal of change going to happen at Liverpool this summer. Jurgen Klopp is borderline impossible to replace, but ultimately there are reasons to think that there is enough continuity, not least that the squad wouldn't need a huge amount of surgery as well. I think if Xabi Alonso was to pick Bayern Munich, for example, he'd have to do a lot more work with that team, whereas I think with Edwards, Hughes, Alonso as a kind of trio really going into next season, maybe one or two deals in the summer, but it wouldn't have to be a complete overhaul of what Liverpool have got now. It could be you know, continuous in terms of the squad and a couple of bits off the pitch, even if there was, you know, a few other changes to get used to as well. So I don't know. It's one of those where I think there's definitely enough there to make me feel content enough, as content as you can be with Jurgen Klopp leaving, I think, in terms of what comes next and the contingency plan. There's loads of expertise, and I think if any club has shown with what it's done over the last few years that it can get this right, I think probably Liverpool is that club, and obviously Michael Edwards has been a big part of that as well.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you look at the success that Klopp has brought, obviously he's right at the top of the pyramid in terms of the people responsible for that. That should go without saying, although he would probably want to give the credit to his players. But, you know, whichever way you rank the players and Klopp, they're right up there at the top. But if you're going to slot someone in underneath them, it is probably Michael Edwards, in the sense that, you know, you look at the signings that he brought in, you know, his first summer alone, Salah, Robertson, some huge hits who are obviously still at the club now, have gone on to be legends at the club. And you can just run through the entire list of people he signed, even before he was sporting director, on the kind of transfer committee. Roberto Firmino, of course, was one led by the data. That was the sort of conflict at the time, wasn't it, between the signings Rodgers wanted and the signings that Edwards and the transfer committee wanted. And ultimately, his approach was borne out with Firmino also becoming a club legend. So, yeah, if you're losing Klopp, then the best you can really do to mitigate is make sure that all of the things that help make Klopp such a success are still in place, or I suppose in this case, back in place, given that he's returning to the club. So, yeah, I mean, we did have a comment on Facebook there. Is there any chance Edwards could sway Jurgen Klopp to want to stay? Is that a possibility? I think the answer there is unfortunately no. You see sort of reports, don't you? There was something in the Telegraph that said there were some robust discussions behind the scenes in sort of the latter years of Edwards' first spell at the club, in terms of the longer contracts being handed out to older players. The same report said that Klopp became sort of the most powerful voice. So I don't know what you think about this, Matt, but I think it probably wasn't a coincidence that Edwards was approached by Liverpool when he was, once it had become public that Klopp was sort of on his way. I mean, they worked very well together for a long period of time, so it's not that there was any issue there as such, but it does feel like coming into this vacuum almost, where there are lots of things that need to be shaped and moulded, is part of what has appealed to Edwards to come back in the first place.
Yeah, and I think even if, you know, we don't know for sure that is the case, but even if it isn't the case, I think Jurgen Klopp has set his stall out, really. I don't think there's really a chance of a U-turn there. I know I've seen a couple of people in the last few days suggest that even if he was to leave this summer, have a little bit of a break and maybe come back in a couple of years, you know, again, can you see that? It's hard to see him turning back on his word. I think he's made it quite clear that he needed a break. I think he's not just, you know, since that the announcement has been made, but he's kind of always said that, hasn't he? He's always referenced Roy Hodgson as somebody who he definitely wouldn't be managing at the same age as him. Obviously, there's still a fair few years to go before that was the case anyway. But I can't see it, to be honest. I think it's not that it's the right time for a change for Liverpool. Obviously, you'd prefer to keep Jurgen Klopp. That would be the number one option. But I think it is going to prove to be the time for change. I think Jurgen Klopp's mind is made up, and I don't think, you know, as much as Michael Edwards is very well regarded, I don't think it really matters in terms of, you know, the numbers. I think it was Don Hutchison who put on Twitter the other day about, you know, put any numbers on the table for him, you know, give him whatever salary he wants, give him two or three marquee signings in the summer. I think ultimately it just isn't really about that for Jurgen Klopp. I think his decision has been made on the basis of something else completely. He needs a break, and, you know, who can blame him really after the job that he's done at Liverpool? It is an exhausting position. I don't think there's really any chance of a U-turn on that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if anyone's earned the right to go out on whatever terms he wants to, of course it's Klopp. And yeah, hopefully Liverpool can make it that he signs off with a quadruple. It was good to see a video from some of the club's youngsters, actually, that Liverpool put out yesterday, or potentially this morning. I think it was yesterday. But anyway, it's a sort of Kumas, Kwanzaa, Clark, so players who've only really been working directly with Klopp for you know, a matter of months in some cases. But, you know, Kumar said he'll be heartbroken when Klopp leaves. Clark was referencing how, you know, a big part of the motivation for this season is getting those trophies for Klopp. And I think that kind of says everything you need to know about the influence he's had from sort of top to bottom in the club. He's just so revered by everyone. And yeah, that makes it a tough job for anyone replacing him. It makes it a tough job for Michael Edgeworth to decide who's going to replace him. But it also means that he can bow out however he likes. And yeah, let's just hope he can do it with four more trophies to his name. One in the bag, three more to go. I think we're just about done there. Thanks very much for joining me, Matt. Thanks for everyone who's watched along and got involved in the comments. Please check out everything on Liverpool.com for the rest of the day, where we'll be giving you more on Michael Edwards, on Richard Hughes, on Javi Alonso most likely, and on just about anything else that happens around Liverpool. So keep an eye out for that. There'll be lots of content on the Blood Red channel as well, and Jurgen Klopp's press conference coming later ahead of Sparta Prague. So potentially some injury news there. We'll be looking out for what he said about Ibrahima Konate. We'll bring you all that when we have it. But for now, thanks very much, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.